All righteous. Amen. Giving honor to God. Amen. For another beautiful day that He has made. And right before we get started, amen, let's go before God in prayer. Hallelujah. Lord God, we celebrate Your loving kindness, O God, which is better than life. We thank You, O God, for causing our spiritual cups to run over with the joy of the Lord that is our strength. Lord God, may You do an awesome and demonstrate Your awesome presence, O God, in this place. May we, O God, be inspired to go forth, O God, and let people know that Jesus Christ, that You are Lord, and You are a God that we can trust because You have an everlasting covenant with these Your people. As we give You thanks and praise, O God, may fresh oil of anointing fall upon me, O God, that I can impart spiritual truth to Your people. We love and give You thanks and praise. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank You, Lord. As we were talking about the birthdays, I know yesterday we had the pleasure of celebrating Sister Gracie Douglas's 80th birthday.
Amen.
And it was a good celebration, amen, that she had at the Pompeii restaurant. And, and it was a good outcoming. And one thing that really got me is that knowing about certain people, knowing about her, she has like a praying spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, moment by moment, she is in commune with God. And not everybody has that. Well, one thing I did take away, amen, from the life, amen, that she is still living, amen, she is really an encouragement to all of us. To be continuing instant in prayer. And it reminded me of the verse of scripture that I was dedicating to her, Romans 12:12, as we were quoting that, to rejoice in hope and to be patient in tribulation and be continuing instant in prayer. And I say that to say this, I need all of you to pray for me as I teach this lesson, the everlasting covenant.
Amen.
Amen. As we approach, amen, the last topic of the week, talking about God's sovereignty, and this is one subtopic, amen, the everlasting covenant of God. Coming from the major prophet from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, we're going to read the verses 1 to verse number 4, and then from verse 8 to verse number 11. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Would anyone like to volunteer to read that? Amen.
That our song in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations.
Amen. Thank you for that reading. Thank you so very much. Amen. As Isaiah, the major prophet, amen, he's writing here, and it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He has anointed me for service. Whenever we look at the word preach, amen, and I wrote this down, for us, amen, whenever we look at the word preach, as us as preachers, the teacher always tells us that there's two words within that one word. Do you see it?
Yes.
All right. So when we look at this, when he says to preach, he says, the first thing we do is that we preach to reach to each. That's the main thing that we're doing. So when he writes this verse here, he says, we're preach to reach to each. So that means that we don't need a whole congregation, amen, to preach to, just the twos and few that God put in your way that we are to minister to them. Now, when you're living your life for Christ, you are anointed to serve Him. The anointing is not to make you look pretty, not to make you drive nice cars and have a nice job. The anointing is upon your life to minister for service. And your life is preaching a message. And you are reaching folk who are looking at you. And you are to reach each and every person that God puts in your life. So He says, He has anointed me to preach. And then it says here, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prisons to them that are bound. Now, just reading that one text, we know that in the New Testament, we know in Luke chapter 4, that Jesus fulfills that text. The Bible says that the book was given to him, and as he opened the book, it fell upon Isaiah chapter 61, and then he recites to them the same verse. And then he says, today, this prophecy is fulfilled in your hearing. Now, faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the what?
Word of God.
Now, that means that they heard the word speaking to them by faith, right? Now, it's one thing to read about a book by yourself. It's another thing to have the author right there giving the word that he's proclaiming. He can tell the story a whole lot different because he can let you know what made me pen those letters on that page. So Jesus is standing up before them, giving them the proclamation of himself. And then what's really amazing is that the Bible says Jesus closed the book, gave it to the priest, and he sat down. And I said, the Lord of heaven and earth, you created all the universe and spoke all this into existence, and you're before people that you can just demonstrate your awesome glory right then and there, but he chooses a man to sit down. Now, I said, Lord, that says a whole lot about you. Now, that's really control under authority. He can really just blow their minds right there, but he says, amen, let me just do what I'm told to do. That obedience is better than
sacrifice.
So he's going to be obedient to the priest and do what I'm told to do. Now, and the Bible says, as he sat down and just spoke those words, the Bible says that people were in awe of just of him quoting that one verse. And I said, that's when you got the author right there talking about himself in the word. So this prophecy is fulfilled in your hearing. Then he says here, I am to preach good tidings to the meek, and he has sent me to bind up brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and opening up the prison doors to them that are bound. Now, usually these are people that have been overlooked. It's on a day, amen, to where they're kind of cast down, don't nobody want to fellowship with them or talk with them, especially those that have got brokenheartedness, you know. It really lets us know that when a person is emotionally broken, it affects their heart. And that means that there's been some distrust going on here, because it's a shock when we hear information about a person that you did not even think would do such a thing. It just breaks your heart when you hear that. So Jesus says, I'm here to mend the broken hearts. So he says here, I'm going to mend the broken hearts. Then he says, I'm going to set liberty to those that are captive. Now, when I looked at that verse, it reminds me of one of my favorite movies, and I'm sure it might be some of yours, about the Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the actors in the movie, James Whitmore, who's there, he's got a small library, right? And he has this bird that's his friend. And so as the movie goes on, you know, they're about to take over his library, you know, and everything else. And now he thinks that they come to take over his prized possession is books. But he's been in prison so long, that's the only thing he has that gives him peace in prison. So therefore, amen, he comes up to parole, and therefore they say, you know what? We're going to let you back into society. And he's going, why? I've been here for so long. This is my life. But then the people are saying, yeah, but you want freedom, don't you? And he says, I don't even know what freedom looks like. Because people have been locked up for so long that they accept, amen, the status that they're in, that even when you give them a blessing, they still refuse it. And so James Whitmore, he goes along in the movie, so now he goes outside the front gate in his suit, right? And he's got this suitcase. And it's funny now, as life goes on, you know, he gets a job at the grocery store and everything else, and he's still unhappy, right? Now, even though he was in prison, right, he had peace. Now we're going to put you back into society and you don't have peace. So therefore, even though he was out of prison, prison was still in him. And we know it was a sad story. He ended up taking his life, right? The movie goes on, right? And we know one of our favorite actors, he comes up and he's about to be free. And therefore, he goes into the same hotel room that he's in and sees the marking of his friend that he committed suicide. Right? So people can be outside of prison, but prison is still inside of them. So Jesus is coming not to just set you free physically, I'm going to set you free spiritually. Because the sin of this world can keep you in prison in yourself. So now when our lives are in ministry with God by the anointing upon your life, the Bible says the anointing can destroy every yoke. Now prison, amen, is a yoke of bondage. Now when you come on the scene, Jesus has already got your day set. That means that when you get up in the morning, I'm going to have the right friends on your way. I'm going to have the right employees, amen, on your way. I'm even going to have the right person at the cash register when you check out, right there when you check out. Matter of fact, when you get the push cart, you're going to pass by a person on your way there. So as we go along in life, God's got everything set. And the only thing he wants you to do, amen, is treasure the anointing I put on your life. That's all I want you to do. Take care of the oil I put on your life. Now, as we read this text, Jesus was not physically anointed with oil, as if a person needs to come up to him and anoint Jesus. No, he is the anointed one. So Jesus himself is housing himself in you. Now I'm going to sit you on your day. I want you to just treasure the oil, right? Now, oil is symbolic to the Holy Spirit. Now, when the Holy Spirit is in you, two things I don't want you to do. Don't quench the Holy Spirit and don't grieve the Holy Spirit. That's the anointing on your life. Now, when you go out there in your work life, you are preaching a message already. You have the light of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. You're sending out a message. Now, what message are we sending? How are we communicating that out there in the community? Lord is saying, it's not for you to be concerned about their response. I'm concerned about you with the oil in your life. As long as we got communication, amen, no matter where he sends you, there ought to be a difference in that place. Now, one time I was invited to a Catholic service, and I didn't want to go. And God says, no, you're going. I said, Lord, you delivered me from that stuff already. I used to be in Catholicism, you know, growing up in England, that's all we had. And so then we go there, and sure enough, you know, he's talking about the kingdom of God. And I said, oh my gosh, that's my topic. And sure enough, he makes a comment, and I say, amen, right? Why did you say that? And so certain heads kind of looked up, kind of looked back at them, and then he talked about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I said, amen. And realizing I'm the only one, amen, in celebration of his word. And God says that I'm just going to put you in this environment. You got the oil of anointing upon your life. That means wherever I send you, regardless of the surroundings, there ought to be a difference in that place. So at the end of the service, amen, you know, people, they were kind of looking at me, and as I shaking the hand, the priest's hand, he pulls me aside, and he said, you stand right here. I said, okay, I'm standing right there. And everyone's looking at me and shaking his hand, right, and shaking his hand. And then at the end of the service, the Catholic priest says, we need more people like that.
Amen.
So God says that the oil in your life, it was not for you, it was for the priest. To encourage my brother in Christ, even though we may believe differently, he's still in the body of Christ, minister to him. And so I said, brother, I don't know why I was sent here, but I was sent here, I guess, to encourage you, to let you know, brother, we are keeping you in prayer. And I know it's difficult because you want feedback. But when nobody gives you feedback, he says, like, I'm just preaching to dead sheep out there. And that's all they do. They just come, and they all get dressed up, and then they go home. And then that's it. But he says, but the oil in your life is to make a difference. So even though he is in church, he felt like he was still in prison in church. So you got the oil to set him free. So Lord, I just let my light shine, and then that's what happens. Then he says here, verse number 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to do what? To comfort all that mourn. Amen. So God says the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, when I look that up, it's not so much a calendar year. It is a period of set time that God is going to demonstrate his awesome wonder. Now, all this is going to take place when Jesus returns back to earth, amen, and he's going to set up his kingdom, and there's going to be everlasting peace. Well, Minister Nedrick, how do you know this? Well, it echoes, amen, in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, right? And it says, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, right? And his name, singular, shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And then the next verse says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from this time forth, even forevermore. Period. And it's still in the same verse. And then the next part says, and the zeal of the Lord will perform this. So all of this, what he's talking about in Isaiah 61, is fulfilled on in Isaiah. In the earlier verse. So his kingdom will be set up and there's going to be everlasting peace, right? But in the meantime, God is saying, I'll put the kingdom of God in us to be evident that wherever we go, Jesus Christ is alive and is ruling and reigning in the affairs of our life. When we can say everlasting covenant, that means that we have a trustworthy God. Well, Minister Nedrick, how do you know that? Amen. It's in the scriptures. What's that? Numbers 23:19, right? God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath not God said, and shall he not do it? Or hath not God spoken, and shall he not make it good? Hallelujah. So he's given us, amen, so much treasure in this earthen vessel that the excellency and the power will be of God and not of us. And when we realize that, guess what? God can trust you, amen, with more. Lord, I'm asking for this. And he says, well, since you asked for this, I'll give you that. Because it's all about him and not about us. So Isaiah is making a point here that this day is coming, and when it comes, he says, it's going to be a day of vengeance. That means that Satan's clock is winding up so much so that, listen, he knows that he's got to move quickly and swiftly. That means that he hates God's people because we believe in God and we don't believe in Satan. We walk in the authority of God, not in the authority in the persuasion of Satan. We have the Holy Ghost in us. That makes that we have influence in the people that comes in our lives.
Yes, yes.
And when we are influenced by the Holy Spirit, we don't speak a word just to their hearing. We speak to their spirit because they are in bondage. They're in prison, and we are there to set folk free. And then, amen, I'm going to comfort those that are mourning. Now, when it says in verse number 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. I had to stop there. I remember this one preacher, he had preached about there are many people in the city of Jerusalem, but very few are in Mount Zion. And he said very few get close to God on Mount Zion, but they like to stay in the city place. When you get really close and serious about the things of God, he can trust you with some information. That means that he's going to trust you with some things that he knows that is going to get done. Because he knows you more than you know yourself.
Right.
So when he drops that in your spirit, he knows that you are going to see to it that, Lord, you put this in me to see to it that it get done. Now, this word in Isaiah is placed upon his life to write. And he says, I'm writing something in a way that is already done, but not yet. I'm prophesying things that's going to take place in the future already, but it has not happened yet. God says, I'm going to put a word in you. You're going to see that it get done, even though it's not done yet. As you go along in your life, you will see fulfillment in your life when that word comes into your spirit. When the word drops inside of you that, Lord, I know I got to get this word out of me because I know it's not for me, right? Now, one way God can do it is by causing a little circumstance to happen, okay? Sister Nedrick's car breaks down in Sam's parking lot. She calls me at work. Honey, the car's broke. No, not that car. That car, amen, should not be breaking down like that. So, in my house, I give them the AAA number, right? And I tell all my family members, before you call me, you will call AAA. So when I get there, things at least should be halfway taken care of, right? So she calls AAA, right? Then she calls me. I said, okay, honey, I'll be right there. So I get there, AAA gets there, and they say, Mr. Nedrick, come to find out, it's not the battery. It might be the starter or the spark plugs things in the car. And I'm going, you mean to tell me you guys can't jump in and get it started? He says, no, we have to call the tow truck. I said, oh my gosh, man, call the tow truck, right? And guess what? People go to Sam's Wholesale and they go to RBC. And here I am in the parking lot, and I get plenty of offers. Brother Nedrick, you want us to come over there and take care of you, right? I said, no, bro, help is on the way. Help is on the way, brother. It's coming. Amen. It's coming, right? And so therefore, I go inside Sam's to take some time, amen, just to walk around there. And then I get a phone call. AAA says, I'm on my way. The tow truck comes up, pulls up towards the car, and I'm just standing there. And I said, sir, I am so thankful you are here. He says, sir, I'm going to take care of you. So I just stood there watching him do his thing. And as he finishes, you know, you go inside the tow truck. And so he goes, sir, if you don't mind me saying, he says, I believe that you are a Christian. And I said, well, I happen to be one. Yes, sir. And then he says, if you don't mind me going further, I think you're a minister. And I said, nothing can reveal this to you, brother. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. This is by the Holy Spirit. And so he is there. We're in the vehicle, right? And therefore, that moment, he starts to confess. He starts to repent of all of the stuff, amen, that he was trying to tell me that he wants forgiveness from God. And I said, Lord, you had to break the car down. Cost me some additional money to get it fixed so this man can repent from his sins. Because he was in a bondage, and the only way he can be set free from it is that he's got to get it off of his chest.
Yes.
So God says that I'm going to put you, amen, to be the person that's going to be in between me and God and this individual, that you're going to set him free from his sin.
Right.
Because the Bible says that the wages of sin is what?
Yes.
Death. So he says you're freeing this man from spiritual death.
Yes.
So therefore, he's confessing, he's repenting, and then I give him a word of encouragement, amen, and started to pray for the brother. And as I did, we pulled up in the parking lot, get to the repair shop, and the repair shop, Mr. Nedrick, is going to cost you X amount of dollars. I said, okay, I was expecting that. And so he says, are you going to leave the vehicle here, or are you going to stay here to get it fixed? I said, you know what? I'm just going to leave it in you guys' hands. I just called the missus to come pick me up. So she comes and picks me up. We get to the house, and all of a sudden the next day, Mr. Nedrick, your car's going to have to stay overnight. I'm going, golly. It's going to have to stay overnight? He says, yes. So it stays overnight, right? And all of a sudden I get a call about noontime the next day. Mr. Nedrick, we came to tell you the cost of the vehicle we misquoted. I said, okay, how much was the damage? And come to find out, it was hundreds of dollars lower than what I expected. So God is saying, if you just trust me, I will put money back in your pocket that you did not even ask for. Because I can trust you with the oil of anointing. So he says, so, but in the meantime, while I come, I need you to fulfill my word that's in your life. I got to put it in you to get it to somebody else.
Right.
Now, he was an individual that I would not even speak to. I wouldn't have even noticed the individual. But God says, I got the right person that's going to speak to this day, this person on this day. So while you're in prayer, God can give you a word about forgiveness, right? And that's all God says. So you're walking with that all day long in work. And I'm going, okay, Lord, you gave me this word of forgiveness. Who is it to? And you're going, well, I'm just going on my merry way. And then I get a phone call from Sister Nedrick. So the way I'm looking for forgiveness, God says, no, no. Your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. Amen. The way I do things, just trust me and follow me. So we go there and we minister to the brother. Now, amen, he's been set free, amen, from prison. The same thing that God, amen, as Isaiah pens these words on that paper, amen, God says, I'm going to pen my word upon your heart. Now, I need you to go out there and trust me. I'm going to put a person in your life that you are going to deliver, amen, and come out of prison. Now, he says here, morning Zion, and I'm going to give unto them beauty for ashes. Hallelujah. Yeah. And when I thought about that, amen, I thought about Job. And we know that God, you know, kind of showed off really on Job because Satan says, well, I've been going to and fro and there's nobody there on earth. And so it just so happens God says, well, I have a person in mind. And Lord, I hope it's not my name on the list. He said, have you considered my servant, Job? And all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose on Job. Now, it's something when God can pick you out of everybody else to demonstrate his awesome glory. Because he knows that he can trust you, amen, that when it comes, the Bible says he never did blame God. And as you read on, amen, it says, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. He's still trusting in God. I mean, can you imagine during a funeral service, he's got these children and all these coffins are passing by, and you got to bury each and every one of them. I mean, that's got to be a heart-wrenching feeling right then and there. But God says, I can trust Job. Job is coming your way, right? And then at the end, he was rewarded twice on what he started out with, right? We're going to find that out in the text. So, beautiful ashes and the oil of joy for mourning. Amen. Now, the anointing oil back then, it was a medicine that many people, when they had a sickness, they would take this oil and rub upon them, right? And it would kind of heal them on the surface level, but inside they were still hurt and they're broke. Now, as I read that text, the oil of joy for mourning, that means that when a person can receive that you're going to take care of them, it gives them a sense of hope that, man, you care about me. And therefore, God's going to put that person in your hands to take care of them because you got a soul in your hands. And Lord, you know I'm not going to be, you know, giving this guy just any kind of word. I need your word. And when I speak to that person, I'm going to speak to their spirit. So Lord, you've given me, oh God, this word to give this person some hope. Now, the oil of joyful mourning, that means that person there in mourning. That means a person there in ashes and sackcloth. They're in a state of depression. And here you come, amen, with the oil of joy all over you. You got the oil on you, and you're going to impart it unto this individual. Now, here's one thing God does not want you to be concerned about. Do not be concerned about their response. Don't ever look for a pat on the back, or an applause, or a thank you. If Jesus can die on the cross and die a cruel death of crucifixion and still say, Lord, forgive them because they know not what they do. Now, if Jesus can do that on the cross and we don't have to suffer as much, Lord, as long as I get your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, Lord, let your will be done. And when the will be done, guess what? You're not looking for applause from nobody. But it puts a smile on God's face when he can come down and speak to you and put a blessing that you did not ask for. God says, that's my reward for you. And that goes beyond any compliment, amen, that people can give you. Because we know that words can come and words can go. People can act up, amen, and they can be right down. But the word of the God is settled forever, amen, in your spirit. So I'm bringing this here to anoint them. Then he says, the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. There is like a robe of righteousness that God gives us. The moment you said yes to Jesus, righteousness could not have come any faster in your life. Now, amen, you are clothed with him. The Bible says, I believe it's in 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6, it says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you or promote you in due time. That, Lord, when you are humble and submit unto God, he says your promotion is already on the way.
Yes.
Now, even though I might not make it, amen, into the society level to be proposed to the next grade level, but God says, I'm going to put so much in you that, listen, that when they need help, they'll bypass the expert and they'll come right to you.
Amen.
Because they know that you can get it done and get it done right.
Yes.
Even though you may not have all the information, you're not the expertise, but they know when it's placed in your hands with your care and your touch, amen, they want your signature on it, they know it's going to get done. So I said, Lord, thank you for trusting me with so much, right? And now, Lord, you're putting me in a place where I can minister to these people. And it says right here that they may be called what? Trees of righteousness. The what? The planting of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You wonder why God has got you in that specific place, amen, where you're working at. You are a planting of God. And whenever God plants, he says he's going to reap.
That's right. Yeah.
So when God plants you there, you are a planting of the Lord that, listen, that God himself will be glorified. So when I looked at that, amen, we know it reminds us of Psalm 1, right? This person shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and that person shall bring forth their fruit in their season because their leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever that person doeth, it will prosper. Come on here. So God says, I'm planting you to be fruitful because there's prosperity right in your face. Now, whenever you plant something, guess what? The root has to go down before it comes up. So God says, I'm concerned about the down root before there's up root. When there's down root, that means that you got a solid planting foundation in the Lord Jesus Christ. The deeper you go with God, he can take you to higher heights. But those that have a surface level, amen, just a little wind can come and they're already distressed. Because you're not planted, amen, deep in the things of God. Listen, we've been saved for so many years, right? When we celebrated Sister Gracie Douglas' 80th birthday, right? That means that she's been through World War II. She's been through the Korean War, Vietnam, and then she's also been through the civil rights movement. And I mean, been through an assassination of a president and been through so much, amen. And therefore, I can look upon her as a solid foundation. She didn't let stuff, you know, kind of get her off key. She had a solid foundation, planting of the Lord. So she knows that God calls her to go through all of that to let people know that Jesus Christ, you are still Lord. You rule and reign, amen, from your throne. So her eyes are fixed on Jesus. Now, God is saying the same thing that she went through. Guess what? We're going to have to go through some similar things as well.
Yes.
The political arena, amen, is just flooded the media, right? Now, I attend BSF, and of course, we can't talk about politics, which is good. Amen. So we don't want politics inside the class. So we know that everything is coming up, right? And then they begin to ask you, so Brother Nedrick, who are you voting for? I said, you know what? I'm going to trust God. I'm just going to trust God that whoever is in the White House, it's still our Christian responsibility to pray for the one and leadership. We still got a responsibility, amen, to pray for them. And if you think, amen, that may be, you know, just trash talk, when you look at the nation of Israel, when you look at how many kings have reigned in that time, there's been more bad kings than there were good kings. And some bad kings have reigned for so many years, amen. Listen, just to get God's people attention. You don't have to go through 40 years in the wilderness. Just trust me, amen. It could just be a 90-day vacation trip. And you get to your destination. Just trust me, because what? I am an everlasting covenant God. I'm going to keep my word. Now, since you know that my word is settled in heaven, let it be settled in us. It's going to come our way. So that the Lord will be glorified. And verse number 4, and they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, desolations of many generations. Now, this is talking about, amen, during a time when God's people, they were going through so much turmoil that, listen, God was causing the enemy to conquer them to let them know, I'm still God. Since you want to choose to worship idols and other gods, he says, you know what? That thing that you trust in, I'm going to let it have you just for a season. And in that season, it's going to be a wake-up call. And I need for this to get your attention. The same thing, amen, as we witness whoever's going to be in presidency, they're only there for a season. That's all they're there for. And God says, during this season, I need you to get something out of it. Right. Now, I'm going to bring up a topic, amen, about... you know, during Hollywood, you know, we got marriages and divorces. And we know that, what, Angelina Jolie, she divorced, you know, Brad Pitt. And I said, Lord, thank you, Lord. I learned something from that. I learned what not to do. Yeah. That's what I learned from it. You got everything going for you, and you still call it quits. Yeah. That lets me know that, listen, you could put your money and treasures in money and earthly things, and all that would still not make you happy.
Right.
And they had everything going for them, amen, and they still call it quits. And God says, I'm teaching you what not to do. The Bible says in Psalm 20, many trust in chariots and some in horses, but we shall remember the name of the Lord our God. That means that, man, your foundation is in Christ Jesus. Now, when he says here, I'm going to restore certain things, that means that there was the temple that was kind of distraught and it was destroyed. God said, I'm going to build all of that back together again. Now, when he restores and builds things, guess what? Do not get beside yourself,
right.
Nation of Israel. Don't get beside yourself and say, look at us. Because I'm always reminded, amen, to whom much is given, much is what?
Required.
All right. So, Lord, since you're going to set up everything, amen, for me to cohabit and worship you, oh God, God says, don't get beside yourself. I'm blessing you because I care for you. You learned your lesson going through so many kings and you were destroyed, and therefore you got a spiritual beating. Some of you got a physical beating. You were in slavery. Now I'm going to deliver you from that. Now that you're here in my presence, please just keep me on the top priority of your list. That means when you get up in the morning, Jesus, thank you for this day.
Right. Amen.
And it may be raining outside. Lord, thank you for the rain that we have.
Yes.
That, Lord, you are in divine control of this weather. And, Lord, you put me here for a reason.
Yes.
Right? Now, how many of us, we heard the message this morning when Pastor Brown used the illustration when he told the disciples to go to the other side. He came from the angle from where it was Jesus' idea and not theirs. Lord, you planted me here for a reason. And Lord, a storm is coming. Lord, you knew about the storm before it came. So when I keep God as top priority, amen, we're not going to be fret and worried, amen, and panic and start paddling. Amen. We're going to start praying. When you get God involved, you are doing an earthly request for heaven intrusion. And when you allow him to intrude upon your issue, he will settle everything, amen, that concerns you.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing I love about God. Lord, if you don't calm the storm, you can calm me in the midst of it.
In the midst of the storm. Right.
Lord, you can settle me in the midst of it. And God says, all this, amen, is going to happen. But let me speak directly to you in the midst of it. That when you come out of it, amen, you can say it was nobody but God. And therefore, he gets all the praise and the glory. So Lord, you can trust me with that. Now, you're going to come through as pure gold. And therefore, God says, now that you're in order, now let me get everything else in order. Why? Because when you put it in order, oh God, I'm not going to misuse it or abuse it. Because you fix me up first before you fix the situation. Many people, when the situation is fixed and they ain't fixed, they begin to abuse and misuse what God has given them. So, Lord, straighten me out first. Therefore, when you give it to me, Lord, it's in good hands. Hallelujah. Amen. In verse number 8, hallelujah, he says, for I love, the Lord says, the Lord loves judgment, and he hates robbery for burnt offering. And, you know, when I read that, I said, Lord, you love judgment, but you hate robbery of people for burnt offering. When I read that, I had to go deeper, amen, than what this book was telling me. And there were some people in the marketplace who would take advantage of the poor and tax them additional expense or won't give them their just due when it comes to financial management. They would charge them more, right? Which means that the merchant is making more from the poor, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the merchant knows this, so then what he tries to do is, let me go to a worship service and offer God a burnt offering. And God says, I don't receive burnt offerings from stolen methods. You using stolen means to give me worship? I don't think so. So what does he do? What does he say here? It says, and I will direct their work in what? Hallelujah. He says, so even though you did come to church, okay. Thank you very much. Now that you came to church, now let's see what's going to happen after church. We come to morning service. We come to Sunday school. We may even go to the second service. Amen. And God says, now you've been in church. We can say what? Almost 2.5 hours of church service, of kingdom exposure. Now God's saying, now let me what's going to see after you leave the parking lot. Let's see what's going to see. Was all that time in vain? Was it just another social gathering, or did you truly get something that I can learn and apply to my life? Now, God says that since I put so much in you of 2.5 hours of exposure, now all that church and God's work in you, now God says, I'm going to put a person in your life. When you stop by the gas station, after 2.5 hours of service, just give them 5 minutes of your time. Just give them 5 minutes of word in your time.
Yeah.
And the Bible says, amen, that a soft spoken word breaketh the bone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which means that I don't have to get loud. I don't have to argue. Even if the person was to argue with you, we can agree to disagree. Amen. Yeah. So just by me not arguing, you're saying a whole lot. So when they want to accuse you of something, you can say, well, I'm so sorry that I know I didn't do that, but I am so sorry if I offended you, even though you did nothing. Jesus knew no sin, but can die for sin for us. And therefore, Lord, if you can do it, Lord, you're trusting me to go through it as well. So he says, I'm going to order their work in truth, and I will make a what? An everlasting covenant with them. You know, even those that are crooked folk, guess what? God says there's still a soul in that person that need to be witnessed to. There could be trickery. They can do all kind of devilish stuff. Amen. But God says, I want you to speak to their soul. In Leviticus 19, it says the Lord, amen, he says that he hates those that they use trickery. He hates those that speak evil and those that deal falsely one to another. Now, that deal falsely stuff is just stuff just like this. They kind of give you all the big print, but the fine print is what takes away. And therefore, you got folk like that, and God says, minister to their soul, right? Now, when you can trust God to minister to their soul, that, Lord, you know what's going to happen before it happens. That, Lord, when I walk in that office, they're going to try and accuse me of A, B, and C. And God says, I got your back. Just go in there, and you know what? Don't say anything.
Right.
I'm like, oh, my gosh. But, Lord, I got to say something to defend myself. God says, on this case, hold your peace. Just be still and know that I'm there. And when you can trust God in that, guess what? He's working, amen, his truth in you, and he will make an everlasting covenant even with those folk that are lying against you. And he says, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them that they are the seed which all the Lord has blessed. When you are blessed in this church, when you are blessed, I want to say, in the body of Christ, wherever God sends you, they ought to recognize something different in your life. They ought to be seeing at least some glimpse of God in you, some kind of way, you know. I remember a person was picking stuff off the rack, and something fell on the floor, and everybody else passed by. And so I said, well, let me just go ahead and pick it up and put it in its right place, right? And, of course, you know, people are watching. Even you don't think people are watching. And they said, sir, I didn't think that anybody was going to get that. I said, yeah, they weren't looking, but God was looking. He said, the can fell with your presence, and you're going to walk by? I said, well, God, let me put it back in its rightful place. And God said, just by picking that up, you witnessed to a person right there. You just dropped 2 minutes of your time of 2.5 hours of worship. Just by picking up something, you just touched a person's soul. That means that they notice something different in your life. Now, when they come to you, amen, I don't have to argue about, man, you guys are running, you know, a mocky business in here. How come y'all don't pick up stuff behind folks? And, you know, you see the clothes laying on the floor. How come y'all don't pick it up? You know, stuff like that. God said, let me minister to that person. And when you can speak the words of life into that individual, guess what? Man, they're just going to have a blessed moment in God. Now, you've just built a rapport of God to that person. You are the bridge, that gap between them and God. You are the bridge that God put in their life to drop a golden nugget in their spirit. So they notice something about you. And verse number 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul, amen, shall be joyful in my God, for he hath what? Clothed me with the garments of what? Salvation. You're bringing a message of salvation to folk. Amen. The Savior, Jesus Christ. And he says, and he hath clothed me with the robe of righteousness. You take upon the righteousness of Jesus Christ because ours is like filthy rags. And he says, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. Now, this, amen, is also talking about when Jesus comes back. He's coming back for the church. And the church is preparing, amen, ourselves, right? That means that when Jesus comes back, I'm coming back for a church without what? Spot or wrinkle. Listen, without spot, that means that my robe of righteousness that he put on me is clothed in the pureness of Jesus Christ. When he sees us, he sees himself. Ooh. And when God could get a glimpse and see himself in us, no wonder, amen, the bride was to come that much faster, amen. Because I'm married to you all. And when I come back, amen, I'm going to take the church out of here, and you will be with me until eternity, because I am a what? Everlasting covenant God. I am everlasting to everlasting, amen. So all this is going to take place. Then it says in verse number 11, for as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to what? Spring forth. So the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before who? All the nations. Everywhere. Now, those of us that are in the military, we've experienced that we've been traveling to different countries, right? And in certain countries, amen, we know we can't witness about, you know, the goodness of Jesus. That, Lord, even if you don't say anything, your life ought to be talking like off the top of the mountain.
Yeah.
That even when you're in the marketplace, you know, and many countries in Europe, I think every weekend they have like a market street, you know, sale almost every Saturday morning, right? And when you get there, amen, they ought to sense something different in your life. That even though I might not speak their language, one language they do understand, right? And then me and this person, we don't know, we know you're in Turkey, they don't understand English. And then I just made this one symbol. I said, and that's all that was said. And he just got excited. He just thought that, my God, a foreigner from a different nation is coming to this country to pray for me. No words were exchanged, but just that simple symbol. And that's it. And his day was probably the blessed ever, because he knew somebody was taking his concern to the throne of God, right? Now, that means that, Lord, you're taking me to different nations or different countries, right? The same effect that God had upon the world when Jesus was on earth, we should have the exact same effect. Mm-hmm. That we can also, in the previous chapter, it says, arise and shine, for thy light is come, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. That, Lord, I'm going to rise up this morning, O God, to give you praise. So let me start out, O God, by saying thank you for this day. Lord, you got my day already set in order. I know I got my agenda, but Lord, your agenda takes priority. Many times God can interrupt your agenda just to inject his agenda. Now, when he does that, don't get, you know, frazzled and everything else. God knew it was coming up already while you were sleeping. Right. He knew it was coming up, but I didn't know it. But, Lord, since you know of my tomorrows, Lord, I'm getting up with that same mindset. So, Lord, I'm getting up in the morning. That, Lord, it's rainy. God says, okay, so what? Lord, I'm still giving you thanks and praise, amen. So while you're getting prepared, amen, you're getting dressed up in the morning in prayer, brushing your teeth in fellowship with God, amen. You're going out the door, you already got a melody of song in your heart. And listen, you get in the car, and let's say, and it starts. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It starts, and you thank God for that. And while you're on your way to work, amen, just so happens a person might want to just cut you off.
Right.
Right? Now, when they try to do that, I said, thank you, Lord. The devil should have caught me hours ago. You're kind of late because I'm already up there with Jesus. I'm already in fellowship with him. So when you cut me off, I said, well, you must be in a desperate situation to get to your destination. And sure enough, a few miles down the road, they're pulled over by some police car. Amen.
Yeah.
So I said, Lord, I pray for them that, Lord, may they get an understanding, Lord, that, Lord, they can't get ahead of you. So, Lord, as you get up with that same mindset, God says, I can trust you with so much more. So listen, trials are going to come your way, but keep your eyes focused upon me. Amen. And I will direct your path. And in that, I'll close in Jesus' name and amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.